Well, praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the 61st chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah 61, beginning of verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal, bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Good tidings, good news, healing for the brokenhearted, liberty for captives, freedom for those who are bound, comfort, consolation, beauty, oil of joy, the garment of praise, that there be trees of righteousness on the landscape, planted by the Lord. This is the gospel. Good tidings, good news, the message of freedom, the good news of salvation, a holy utterance, a holy unction. Do the poor not long for good tidings? Do the brokenhearted not pine for healing? Do captives not weep for liberty? Do the bound not wail for freedom? Does the mourner not lament for comfort and consoling? Does the possessor of ashes not wish for an exchange? Do the grievers not dream of joy that pours like oil? Do those possessed, haunted by the spirit of heaviness, not burn for a garment of deliverance? Proverbs 25:25, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Our text reading from the Wycliffe Bible, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for the Lord anointed me. He sent me to tell out to mild men that I should heal men contrite in heart and preach forgiveness to captives and opening to prisoners. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for the Lord hath anointed me. He sent me to tell to the humble or to the meek that I will heal people contrite in heart and preach forgiveness to captives and freedom to prisoners, and preach a pleasant year to the Lord and a day of vengeance to our God, that I should comfort all that mourn and proclaim a year of the Lord's favor and a day of the vengeance of our God. And I will comfort all who mourn, that I should set comfort to the mourners of Zion, and that I should give to them a crown for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, and a mantle of praising for the spirit of wailing, and strong men of righteousness shall be called therein, the planting of the Lord, for to glorify him. Yea, that I will give comfort to all who mourn in Zion, and that I will give them a crown for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, and a cloak of praise for the spirit of wailing, and people strong in righteousness there shall be called the planting of the Lord to glorify him for his glory. Perhaps one would say, I am not poor. My heart is not broken. I am no captive. I am not bound. I have no mourning. I have no ashes. I have no grief. I have no haunting. Is that so? The years ran their course. The prophet Isaiah had his time under the sun, and he faithfully served the purpose of the Lord. He ran with the will of God. He spoke as the Lord would have him speak, and for those who heard his words, how precious they must have been. Isaiah 61, utterance and unction. Isaiah 61, and now the time had come for Luke chapter 4 to play out. Luke 4, beginning of verse 16. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Good custom to have. And he stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. The gospel. Jesus Christ. Jesus the Christ. He is good tidings. He is good news. He is the message of freedom. He is the message and the good news of salvation. You have no lack. Your heart is not broken. You are not captive. You are not bound. You have no mourning. You have no ashes. You have no grief. You have no haunting. No matter our claims outside of Jesus Christ, we are poor, broken, captive, bound, mourners, possessors of ashes, proponents of grief. We are the haunted. R.C. Sproul said, "The gospel is called the good news because it addresses the most serious problem that you and I have as human beings. And that problem is simply this: God is holy, and he is just, and I'm not. And at the end of my life, I'm going to stand before a just and holy God, and I'll be judged. And I'll be judged either on the basis of my own righteousness, or lack of it, or the righteousness of another. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus lived a life of perfect righteousness, of perfect obedience to God, not for his own well-being, but for his people. He has done for me what I couldn't possibly do for myself. But not only has he lived that life of perfect obedience, He offered himself as a perfect sacrifice to satisfy the justice and the righteousness of God. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. Jesus, preaching Jesus. What a church service that must have been. Jesus preaching the gospel. And he is the gospel, the good news. The Wycliffe Bible, he turned the book, he found a place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, for which thing he anointed me. He sent me to preach, literally to evangelize to poor men, to heal contrite men in heart, and to preach remission to prisoners, and sight to blind men, and to deliver broken men into remission. To preach the year of the Lord pleasant and the day of yielding again. To preach the year of the Lord accepted or pleasant and the day of retribution or yielding again. And when he had closed the book, he gave it again to the minister and sat. And the eyes of all men in the synagogue were beholding him. Behold him. And he began to say to them, for in this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. And all men gave witnessing to him and wondered in the words of grace that came forth of his mouth, that came out of his mouth. The gospel for sinners. And so too, the gospel for the saints. For we continue to need and feed on the good news. In this fallen world, we need good tidings. Are you in need today? Healings, freedoms, comfort, consolation, beauty, oil of joy, the garment of praise. What a mantle. What a cloak. Oh, that we would wonder in the words of grace today. Isaiah 61:2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. We are living in the year of the Lord, the time of grace, the time of grace, the time of hope, the time of salvation. And just as a calendar year comes to an end, so too the year of the Lord will give way to the day of vengeance of our God. The New Century Version, he has sent me to announce the time when the Lord will show his kindness and the time when our God will punish evil people. History will play out, and then history will wrap up. We don't know when the last day of this year of the Lord will come. Could it be today? Tomorrow? A day in the not-so-distant future? There is no need to fear if we are prepared, if we are covered, if we are saved, if we have Jesus and he has us. But if we do not have Jesus and he has not us, the day of vengeance will find us wretched, wicked, and unworthy, and the wrath of God will be our portion. I cannot conceal the truth. I cannot stand here and lie to you. Your soul is at stake, and my record. Threefold application. And now the second. The NLT reads, "The time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it the day of God's anger against their enemies." There are enemies. There are many enemies. Enemies of the people of God. Enemies that stand against us, that fight against us, that seek our ruin. Enemies that want to hold us back and take us down. Is there mourning? Ashes? Heaviness, ruins, desolations, lack, shame, confusion, sorrow because of enemies? The message reads, "God sent me to announce the year of His grace, a celebration of God's destruction of our enemies." Oh, that a believing spirit would grip us today. God's word translation, "He has sent me to announce the year of the Lord's goodwill and the day of our God's vengeance." The good news translation, "He has sent me to proclaim that time, that the time has come when the Lord will save His people and defeat their enemies." And we see that, God, You're moving. A time of jubilee is coming. Listen again to the words of our Jesus, and He would preach the gospel to us in this church today. The New King James Version, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." If we could see it, might it be that Jesus would take the book today and open up and read the Amplified? There was handed to Him the roll of the book of the prophet Isaiah. He opened, unrolled the book, and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me, the anointed one, the Messiah, to preach the good news, the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to announce release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity, to proclaim the accepted and acceptable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and the free favors of God profusely abound." Are we living and yet know not the year in which we live? This is no time for amnesia. Oh, that we would wonder in the words of grace today. Threefold application. The words of David Wilkerson, Isaiah prophesied, "They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations." Isaiah 61:4. Isaiah's listeners could not fathom the kind of freedom and exploits he was describing here. For generations, God's people had been crushed under the law, devastated by its burden. The same was true for the people of Jesus' day. They were hard on themselves, accepting the legalistic burdens placed on them by religious leaders. That is why Christ's words were so revolutionary when He quoted directly from Isaiah to announce His ministry. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." Jesus knew that the gift of grace would set us free completely. And His message was not just for the unsaved. When He spoke of setting captives free, He was speaking to believers. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. John 8:36. Today, we are just as hard on ourselves as the people of Jesus' day were. We think of grace as being soft, easy, getting a pass. But grace is the mightiest power you will ever see at work in your life. It also is the only power that brings real fruit to your walk with God. Your prayer life, your witness, your good deeds in His name. Only as we enter fully into God's grace will His church be stirred and empowered to walk in the glorious works He has set before us. Are you still striving to be perfect? There is only one entrance to the path of perfection. The gate of grace. You're already perfect in God's eyes through the righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, here is your responsibility. Stop striving. Your efforts only send you backward, not forward. They cause you to miss God's grace completely, grace that brings freedom, joy, and power to do all that God has called you to do. The fact is, you are going to need grace upon grace as you go forward with Jesus. So now is not the time to redouble your efforts. It is time to trust that Christ has provided all the grace you need at every step to walk in the unique calling He has for you. You know, I pray that not one would twist what was just read. Not soft, not easy, not getting a pass. To speak like Isaiah, to take up the scroll like Jesus. Don't you want the utterance and the unction? Don't you want to announce the gospel, good tidings, good news? People are desperate. People are in need. People need to hear. People need Jesus. People need cold waters, good news from a far country. Those who do not know Jesus and those who do know Jesus. Acquaintances, friends, members of the family, members of our family, sons and daughters. You know, something had happened to Isaiah. Man. Something had happened to him 55 chapters ago, an encounter with God that changed everything. Isaiah 6, we pick it up at verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. And the train of His robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two He covered His face. With two He covered His feet. And with two He flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of Him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged, atoned for." Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I. Send me." Lord God, let the eyes of this generation see You. see you high and lifted up. Let these ears hear holy sound. Let the posts of the door shake and let the house fill with smoke. And let us cry as Isaiah cried, woe is me, for I am undone because I am a man of unclean lips and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Lord, we need live coals from the altar. Seraphim having live coals in hand taken with tongs from the altar. We need our mouths touched. We need to hear the declaration over our lives. Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. And Lord God Almighty, we need our ears open. Open to the call. That holy question that no other can answer on our behalf. The voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Who will go for us? Who will go for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? Here am I, send me. The Amplified Bible, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed and qualified me to preach the gospel of good tidings. Anointed and qualified. We need an encounter like Isaiah. It changes everything. Are you in need of cold water today? Receive these words as I read from the Voice Bible, our text. He has sent me to announce the year of Jubilee, the season of the Eternal's favor. For our enemies, it will be a day of God's wrath. For those who mourn, it will be a time of comfort. As for those who grieve over Zion, God has sent me to give them a beautiful crown in exchange for ashes, to anoint them with gladness instead of sorrow, to wrap them in victory, joy, and praise instead of depression and sadness. People will call them magnificent, like great towering trees standing for what is right. They stand in the glory of the Eternal who planted them. And they will rebuild this place from its ancient ruins. They will restore the ages-old, once splendid structures. They will renew Israel's ruined cities from the ashes and debris that laid untouched for many generations. And people will come from all over to serve you. Outsiders will tend your flocks, plow your fields, and prune your vines. You will be known as the one specially chosen by the Eternal as priests. People will speak of you as ministers of our God. And the wealth of the nations will come to you for your delight and enrichment. Many called you disgraced and defiled and said that shame would be your share of things. Yet you suffered doubly and lived in disgrace. So double will be your share and with joy everlasting. Eternal One, for I, the Eternal, love justice. I hate stealing and all manner of wrongdoing. In faithfulness to those who do justice, I promise they will be rewarded for their work. And I will establish an everlasting covenant with them. Furthermore, I will promise them my support. Receive it today. I will promise them my support for their children, so that all nations and everyone around will see that they are the children blessed by the Eternal God. I am filled with joy and my soul vibrates with exuberant hope because of the Eternal, my God, for he has dressed me with the garment of salvation. He's wrapped me with the robe of righteousness. It's as though I'm dressed for my wedding day in the very best. Take a look at yourself, a bridegroom's garland and a bride's jewels. The whole earth sprouts newness. and life in the springtime and green shoots break through the well-seeded garden soil. That's what it is like with the Eternal's victory. The Lord will cause justice and praise to sprout up before all the nations for all peoples to see. Let's have the worship ministry return today. Listen, the gospel is the answer. The good news, good tidings, the gospel of Jesus, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel he himself preached. It's so true, there is a power in God's gospel beyond all description. Our words, we try, but yet they fail. They fall short. Hear these words. The hearing of the gospel involves the hearer in responsibility. It is a great privilege to hear the gospel. You may smile and think there is nothing very great in it. The damned in hell know. Oh, what they would give if they could hear the gospel now. If they could come back and entertain but the shadow of a hope that they might escape from the wrath to come. The saved in heaven estimate this privilege at a high rate. For having obtained salvation through the preaching of this gospel, they can never cease to bless their God for calling them by his word of truth. Oh, that you knew it. On your dying beds, the listening to a gospel sermon will seem another thing than it seems now. Do you know, my dear unsaved hearer, what God's estimate of the gospel is? Do you not know that it has been the chief subject of his thoughts and acts from all eternity? He looks on it as the grandest of all his works. You cannot imagine that he has sent his gospel into the world to be a football for you to play with, that you may give it a kick as Felix did when he said to Paul, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." You surely cannot believe that God sent his gospel into the world for you to make a toy of it and to say, as Agrippa said to Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian," and then put away all thought of it out of your souls. You cannot even speak of it irreverently without committing a great sin. It's time to come. It's time to forsake the way of Felix and Agrippa. Charles Spurgeon said, "We have an unchanging gospel, which is not today green grass and tomorrow dry hay, but always the abiding truth of the immutable Jehovah." We need the gospel, the pure gospel, and we must not seek to adjust it. One might seek to adjust it in order to achieve what they deem results. One might seek to adjust it to see it become more acceptable to the masses. This is not the way of the Lord. The words of the Prince of Preachers: if God does not save men by truth, he will certainly not save them by lies. And if the old gospel is not competent to work a revival, then we will do without the revival. Truth at all costs. Sinner, come now. For now is the acceptable year of the Lord. Listen, Jesus died for you that you might become, that you might be a tree of righteousness on the landscape planted by the Lord. Believer in the house today, saint, take heart. And if you can receive it today, I believe that the Spirit would come to this house, to this people. The time has come when the Lord will save his people and defeat their enemies. How precious and how beautiful is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Good news. Receive good tidings today. Receive good news today. Receive your healing today. Receive liberty. Receive freedom. Take comfort. Take consolation. Exchange the ashes. Take the oil. You might need the garment of praise. Would you receive it and put it on today? The garment of praise that a people would mantle up and cloak up. The gospel is the good news that Jesus still saves. This is the hope we have. And how glorious it is. Let's stand in the house of the Lord today.